What's good, Poya fans? Hope you've enjoyed this profile on Jeffrey Thorne and that you've already picked up your copy of Green Lantern number one.
If not, don't worry, because we got a really spoiler-ish, but not all the way there, because the issue wasn't out before we conducted this interview type of episode.
What about Future State?
I mean, it could be spoilers, or it could get you up to speed so you can jump right into number one. Or Future State is the spoiler because it takes place in the future.
What?
Exactly.
What up?
It is Wednesday, my dude.
You are now tuned in to What's Up Wednesday from the Power You in Fiction podcast. And today, we finally get to talk with Jeffrey Thorne about his run on Green Lantern.
Okay, Jeff's Green Lantern run sits right at the intersection of his love of sci-fi, his love for Jon Stewart, and the Thorne identity.
Yeah, I'm really hyped for this run because he's the first Black writer to have Jon Stewart in an ongoing, and this is definitely the first time he's been the center of the main Green Lantern title. At me to combat me, Shins DeGrio, I know what I'm talking about.
Nah, don't get between Lou and Jon Stewart. That is the one, yo. That's his one.
You said this is a Jon book, and if this is a Jon's Green Lantern title, I would argue that's the first time in his 50-year history that's really been his, because even when he headed it, he had the cores and that weird Hal Jordan citizen story. And I think you're the first time.
Well,
and I'd say you're the first time that they've really had Jon Stewart heading the main Green Lantern title.
Well, I feel like, frankly, to me, that was the least of my concerns, because the Green Lanterns is, there's just a lot. It's a lot. They could have, DC could carve out the Green Lanterns, forget all the other superheroes, and just have like a Green Lantern verse. That's how deep and crazy their lore is, right? It's kind of like the mutants with the Marvel. You don't need anybody else on a mutant Earth. Just have mutants, you're good. That could be all Marvel Comics with just mutants. Then it'd be fine. Nobody would even care. But the two things, yes. Every time Jon is so-called headed a book, it's been really a team book.
Right.
This time, it's still kind of about the Green Lanterns and the fact that the battery goes down. But like some of what's been said in the releases and what's been guessed at in the various people trying to figure out what we're going to do, I think what they think is it's going to be like John, Joe, Simon, and Kelly having brown and black people adventures running around. And no, it's not going to be quite that. What happens to John places him in a weird position, and what happens to Joe places her in a really, really weird position. So the idea of a straight up team up, people are going to be like, I don't know how he's going to get there. And the answer is, I'm not going there. So in terms of the blackness, I like to think, because I am actually a black man, that I don't have to do much except actually be a black man while I'm writing it, because stuff I'm going to think of, ways I'm going to have him do stuff, things he's going to notice, all that stuff just comes from life. So I feel like there are some things that need to be addressed from John's past. And there's a couple of things about the way John looks at life that will come out. I don't know if it's because I'm black. I don't want to link it to that, but you can't take my blackness out of me. So I guess, yes, some of it will be definitely influenced by that. But I'm not doing like a, let me put it to you like this. I'm not doing a metaphor for the civil rights struggle. He's not going to rescue some apartheid planet. Okay. It ain't like that. This is a straight up sci-fi story with John in the lead.
Respect. This is more directly
the thing you were talking about last episode and how Octavia Butler views her writing with respect to her blackness, right?
Exactly. The blackness, it's just going to come out. I haven't read a book from Jeff that was like inauthentic. Yeah, I can't ever consider any book that I've read from him being inauthentic or not black. He just lives and he lets his characters live.
Right. And I think his take on Jon Stewart is going to be exciting because of what he knows. Like in Mosaic, he knew celebrity. Now, what he knows from his dad. And I think he can carry something I wasn't too keen on in a good way.
Yeah, that thing that you're not too keen on was the soldier thing, right? Because I remember when you said that the other Jeff who wrote on GL had did our man John dirty.
Right. I think the War of Light saga used John to do all the dirty jobs. And I love McDuffie. May he rest among the ancestors. But his move to make John a Marine has implications that I found sketchy.
I feel that.
Right. I'm not too keen on black superheroes having soldier backstories. It's one of like three roles that they're put in. But Jeffrey Thorne's take on what John Stewart believes it means to be a soldier is something that I can vibe with. When the cause is just, we fight. Soldiers live to end battles, not seek them. To love peace and not thrive on war. That adds some dimensionality.
No. He was talking future state, right?
Right.
Same book I told fans they might need to read, huh?
Chill. I got it. So, Future State is a two-issue series that takes place after Green Lantern number 1, but came out earlier this year. The battery is blown up for the third time, Salak is scarred and in combat, and we don't know how it happened either, but here we are. Jeff's base plot is rooted in exploring, diplomacy, and adventure, much like Star Trek. However, in Future State, that goes left, and now we've hit galactic combat and some drama, a la Star Wars.
That's an interesting way to put it. I was thinking more Mad Max Fury Road myself, but that'll work, sure. I think people got fixated on the laser sword, but I didn't think about it like that. It was an interesting thing because the DC guys sort of sprung Future State on me while we were working out what the Green Lantern story was going to be. And they're like, we're doing this Future State thing. And I'm like, okay, what's that? And they told me basically it's a flash forward. And I was like, okay, so how far? Like 1,000 years, 100 years, 50 years? And they're like, you tell us. And I was like, no, you tell me because you know this about to get deep up in here. Right. And they're like, well, for the Green Lantern, don't go further than 20 years. Right. Some point down the line within 20 years. And I was like, but not like 1 year. And they're like, no. So basically what my mandate was take a little slice of what would probably be like issue 20 of Green Lantern, the new Green Lantern run, and just go do what you want. And so I just dropped y'all in. And I was like, I'm not explaining nothing. I'm not telling you who the bad guys are. I'm not telling who these new characters are. Yep, that's Nort. Too bad. Sorry about it. I just let it roll out. I was pretty happy with the whole situation, to be honest with you. There's a lot of Easter eggs in there. If you know comics like I know comics, like basically on page one, I think there's just different little tidbits that work as clues to how I'm going to be what I'm going to be messing around with. And I've been watching, basically only one podcaster so far has figured out any of it. And I was like, damn, I'm okay. I thought I was deep. Okay. I need to stretch out and flex a little bit because he caught me. And also one thing that seems to have been left behind is I don't think John knew he was going to end up being the Sword of Orion. I think he just wanted Orion to show him until he full stop murdering people. But he's got, I think, six other like the vanguard of the God in Red, that's just one little squad of them. That's like maybe a quarter of them, right? So he just turned a quarter of them against all the others with him as the leader, right? So he says, we got a war to win. Who's he going to go fight? The rest of them. He's still outnumbered, right? He's only got a couple of Green Lanterns left and still no rings, right? But he's got an army now. Right. So that's the end of that. And so when you read it back and you see what the conversation actually is, it looks like it's nothing, but it isn't. Right. Even the Fire Fist armor. Right. Where he's wearing the silver armor. And then at some point you see the cape falls away. And he's wearing a Green Lantern symbol. Everything's a clue. There's not a wasted word or a wasted drawing in that story. But if you don't know what you're looking at, that's not my fault. I can exploit that as the writer. I can play with it, right? All the way through this, we were going back and forth in emails going, we have to play fair with the audience, right? We can't have this thing on his belt like suddenly show up on the last page of issue 2. It has to have been there the whole time. We have to mention the box a lot in issue 1. So people will be going, what is this box they're talking about? But people blew it off like it was just military jargon. I'm like, there's no such thing as that. They don't waste words with each other, right? Another thing is, if you know the Legion of Superheroes at all, like the old Legion of Superheroes, especially like from, well, not the old, but like from the 80s, 90s, yeah, late 90s, the lingo, Sprocking, Greif, those are all from the Legion of Superheroes. Those are clues to how my brain is working, right? The last name of that character, Digby, who ends up being in charge of the colony at the end of issue 2, the bald brother. His great-great, like, thousand years great-granddaughter is Shrinking Violet from the Legion of Superheroes, right? But you've got to know that kind of stuff. Your DC lore knowledge has to be that deep, or it's just going to look like, okay, what the hell, you know, what's this guy talking about? Or it's just a fight, right? So all these are clues to how I'm thinking about the book is what I'm leading up to. I'm not saying this is all so great. I'm saying you've had a limited view, and DC Comics basically said you don't have to have that limited view anymore. You can now expand out. You can do stuff that connects to the Legion. I use New Gods in this, you know, in this thing. It's not that it's never been done before, but I'm just saying everything's on the plate.
Well, you know me, I love a good story. I have to consume again and again to catch all the details.
As do I. I also love the whole Sankofa vibe. Like, you gotta go read old comics about the future to catch the allusions to the present, which is the future state's past.
Yo, that's dumb trippy. And that's just the time piece. He said he's doing DC Cosmic, so he got time and space.
Even if I wasn't listening to Jon Stewart, it's an approach to the core that really has me intrigued.
Yo, imagine having the keys to the whole DC Cosmic universe and being told, yo, just have fun with it.
The idea is to sort of do DC Cosmic. So I have access to all of their cosmic stuff. Everything cosmic in DC is within my ability to play with in the Green Lantern book. Everything. Like everything. So. Wow.
That's a pretty fun playground right there.
Right.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It freaked me out a little bit. Like, and where do the Green Lanterns and the Guardians fit in all that? Things have changed. The Superman book. I did not know this until I took over when they said, you're now writing the book. I was like, well, okay, that's a lot. What y'all doing? And they're like, well, there's some other stuff going on. And I'm like, who are these guys? You know, and they're like, you need to read this book. So basically in the Superman book, John Kent, Superman's kid, basically, smacked up the galaxy's different warring races and said, you guys are idiots. You got space travel. You got all this stuff going on. You're constantly trying to kill each other. You need to be a UN. This is stupid. All these people dying because you don't like the way these guys' antennas twist together. This is stupid. You're stupid. So fix it. So they're like, you know, the kid's right. He's a Kryptonian. We probably ought to listen to them. they can come smack the rest of us. So we'll probably listen to them. So I was basically handed the beginning of the United Planets in the Legion of Superheroes. That's just civilization. Everything's in the United Planets. That's 1,000 years in the future. This is day one of that. So the first few issues are going to be about, they're going to start to ask the question, well, wait a minute, how do all of these people feel about the Green Lanterns? A lot of these species we've never met. Like the Green Lantern just been running around handling stuff because they can. Like, what are you going to say? No, oh, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to stop this warlord from doing X, you know, or this crime syndicate that's doing this thing over here. I'm going to stop it. What? You can tell me no, but I'm a Green Lantern with a magic wish ring. I don't know what you can do about it. Sorry about it. Right. So some of these species are like, oh, hell no, they're not part of the United Planets. We're not having it. If this is our chance to say no, I'm saying no. Hell with these dudes. And other people are like, no, they've saved a lot of people. They've been around for thousands of years doing nothing mostly good. So we would like them to be part of this. Right. So it's not just like uniform support of the Guardians and the Green Lanterns out there. There's a lot of folks, and not all of them the bad guys. Some of the good guys are like, maybe not. So we're going to have a lot of upheaval, a lot of political shakeup, all coming from things I didn't make up. Battery blowing up, I didn't make up. United Planets, I didn't make up. What's her name and her magic glove, Kelly, the Teen Lantern. Where did her glove come from? Like, she has her own Green Lantern glove thing that, like, the Guardians didn't make that. How'd you get this? Girl, come up here. You better come up here and let us examine this thing. So there's just a bunch of stuff, political type stuff.
Bro, I don't even know where to start. That's expansive and exciting.
Yo, Nas, I admittedly, my Legion of Superheroes consumption is hella sparse. But to take a far-flung future and sort of work out how you're going to get there, it's hella intriguing.
Yeah, Jeff Thorne's Green Lantern book is a sci-fi book. He ain't doing superheroes, even if John is pretty super.
Bro. It was a lot. And I was really concerned with how he was going to balance all of this. But this is Jeffrey Thorne we're talking about. He knows how to write. He knows sci-fi. And he's going to tell us a bit about the core.
So, yeah. So, Future State. None of the Future States. Well, that's not true. Some of the Future States connect to each other, obviously. Right. Like they have it broken up into families. So there's the Superman family. There's the Batman family. There's the Justice League family. We're underneath the Justice League family. Green Lantern is not popular enough, I guess, to have his own family or their own family. And I think, yeah, like the Titans and like Catwoman would be in the Batman family. Swamp Thing, I don't know where he goes. Maybe Justice League Dark puts him in the Justice League family, stuff like that. But we were not told, like, I didn't know anything even about the other Green Lantern stories in the in Future State. Huh. Like, I was just as surprised and happy to see those as the audience was. And they just basically told us, look, the battery's going to blow up. It's going to die. And you can just, it's up to me why and how. Like, all that's up to me. But DC was like, you know that battery's going, right? And I was like, oh, okay, let's go.
Oh, I feel like that's some heavy responsibility.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's a heavy lift.
I mean, the thing is interesting about Green Lantern is, and I keep reminding people about this, there's 7,200 Green Lanterns, right? And so whichever one I choose to put the spotlight on, that's the Green Lantern. Like, if you live in, I don't know, Aldebaran 6, and you never heard of a Hal Jordan or a John Stewart, and yours is Bricks 93, you know, that's the, when I say Green Lantern, that's who you think of. So, it's not a core book. I've seen people been saying, it's a Green Lantern core. And I'm like, yeah, sort of, but it's really a John Stewart book. So, and they really were really flexible there. I was like, how long do you want the battery broken for? Up to you. Do you want these lanterns to get killed? Like, is it that kind of show? And they're like, up to you. And I was like, how much of this is up to me? And they were like, the battery blows up. That's it. Everything else is up to you. And I was like, damn. Oh, wait. Teen Lantern and Joe from Far Sector, they're in the book. And I was like, wait, what? Teen Lantern? What's that? Sense to me. So I had to do some research on her. And I was just nervous about using Joe because Far Sector.
If the battery's going, right? Yeah. If the battery's going, those are the only two lanterns.
Oh, there is another.
Joe and Teen Lantern are the only lanterns.
Your guess is correct. Your guess is correct. Those two definitely don't get affected by the big blow. There is another.
Oh.
I'm not going to say who. Everybody else. And it's rough because if your ass is in deep space, when your ring goes away, you are a dead Green Lantern. Sound like.
Oh, wow. So you're just going to kill lanterns drifting through space?
Thousands.
It's like the ill, crazy version of gravity.
Yep. And the interesting thing is, well, to me anyway, is this time around, like when the rings go away, they don't fly home. They just either blow up or stop working, depending on where you are. And if you're, what do they used to say? If you're ass out, that's it for you. Like wherever you happen to be, if you're lucky, you're on a planet or inside a spaceship, or you're from a species that can handle being in deep space without a Green Lantern ring. But if you're not on one of those three situations, you just died. Like wherever your ass was, you just also, if you happen to be way up in the sky on a planet with gravity, you're probably dead. So
yeah, I was just thinking that. I was like, damn, you're just gonna have lanterns fall from the sky. Like, oh,
there you go. Yep. It's I mean, I don't know how much we can show all of that on camera, obviously, but once the death toll starts rolling out, people are going to be like, oh, it's like that. So,
okay. Last,
but I felt question. Anyway. Yeah.
Mogo, if Mogo is not in orbit of a sun at the time the ring stops working, what happens to Mogo? Does he just drift into space on a tangent?
I mean, people like Mogo. I like Mogo. I'm not going to say Mogo is safe, but everybody gets hurt somehow. Let me put it to you like that. Not safe. He's not safe, exactly. Nobody is safe. Even John is not safe. Nobody is safe. Well, three of them are safe. Three of them are safe. And where they are and what they do about it is going to be different. And Joe, she's been in the Far Sector all this time. She never even met the rest of the Lanterns. Didn't know any of them. Not put eyes on any of them. And now she's in the middle of all this. So she's got a lot on her plate. And no one even talks about the fact that I'm using Simon Baz. Like, nobody ever talks about Simon, our Muslim American Green Lantern with a gun. what's his place in all this? So it's going to be an interesting book. So I get what I want, which is more color, frankly, more of a rainbow. And nobody can come at me afterwards, like all these fools thinking I'm about to beat up Hal Jordan. I'm not going to touch a hair on Hal Jordan's little head. Hal's going to be fine. He's going to be just the same beautiful, bland person that you love for these many years. And what he's not going to be is the focus. So I hope y'all can handle that because he's absolutely not saving anybody's day. Yeah, that'll be John or that'll be Joe or that'll be Simon or that'll be Kelly or some random Green Lantern you never met before. Because there's 7,200 of them. Like this, you've never even seen most of the Green Lanterns. It's like you've never even seen them. I could just make up a bunch like tomorrow morning. Right? And what are you going to say? They're not Green Lantern? Prove it. Like, on what grounds would you say that? So, I mean, it's just like...
Cool thing that I've been picking up is the idea of this being in this expansive cosmic universe and how the lanterns are really playing within this ecosystem. And I'm curious, you know, since it is going to be very cosmic, very expansive, how are you guys going to be balancing it to make sure that it continues to be grounded, you know?
Well, two things. The problem that Joe has to solve is very gritty. Like, it's that of all the things, it's a little bit cosmic, but it's the least of the cosmic things. It's a very specific problem that anyone can get their brain around. And you'll see in the end of issue 2, you'll see what the problem is. And you'll be like, okay, she's the right one for this job. But it's not going to be some giant like, whoa, what? I don't know what's going on here. It will be like, oh, I know what's going on. Damn, girl. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry that that's your problem. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, Lord. But John's problem is a little bit more complicated and also a little bit, I won't say bigger, but it is more, I'm gesturing, the audience can't see me. It's wider. Like, Joe's problem affects the Green Lantern Corps. John's problem affects everything. So, at some point, theoretically, they'll come together. Maybe the two problems end up sort of meeting at some point. I don't know. We shall see. Depends on how far DC lets me run with it. But some big changes are coming. Some big changes are coming. I don't know how much they'll stick, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting swing. It's definitely going to be an interesting swing.
First of all, as an aside, I was hyped during the interview. Never meant to disrespect Far Sector like that. Season 1 is almost over, but it's one of the most beautiful comics I've ever read.
Word to the bird. It's got 4-time, let me say that again, 4-time Hugo Award winner, sci-fi writer, creator of the Broken Earth trilogy, and another child of Octavia Butler, N.K. Jemisin, writing her first comic, and she just knocked it out the park. Crazy.
Then Jamal Campbell is on Pencils and Colors, and that's one of my favorite sequential artists on Earth. I will pick up a book just because he's on it, and I have. His work on Naomi, and have you ever seen a lantern, or any hero for that matter, with as much drip as Joe?
Ooh, yo, we've been fans. We have been fans of them for a long time. And Jamal, if you're listening to this, get your money, Batman. Get your money. But also, we're desperately waiting on the rest of Immortal Nadia Green. Give us that content, sir. Please.
All right. Far Sector is dope. Jeff thinks it's a perfect comic. I'd be inclined to agree. Again, team is incredible. But back to Jeff. I think that third lantern is either Kyle, because he got that ring after blow number 2, or Sodom Yacht, because ion energy. Or someone we don't know, because there's 7,200 of them, at least before the blow.
Right. I mean, so lanterns just dying all over the galaxy. Just, you know, you have a lantern, and then boom, gone. Lantern in the air, boom, dud, falling out the sky. Lantern off space, you know, off planet. I was going to say off Earth, but off planet, and then just boom, dead. What's going on? Who's doing this?
And he's using all these wonderful brown lanterns in a way that fits the story. It's a John book, but we got Joe out here on her own mission. Simon Baz, who I haven't read a ton of and excited to read more about. Kelly, who...
Right. Ooh. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Right. So we got crazy things going on with her and giant cosmic adventures with John. and a story not only grounded by Joe, but thousands of lanterns falling out of sky like shooting stars in their atmosphere.
I'm gonna leave that where it is. Foul though, sir. Penalty box for you.
That's cool, because we're gonna go to commercial anyway. After this break, we pretty much gonna let Jeff break down all the crazy stuff that's about to go down while we ooh and ah and he laughs maniacally like some storytelling genius. More Poya Podcast after this break. All right, Lou here to give you the third and final reason that I'm going to tell y'all to pick up Green Lantern number one. And that, of course, is for my boy, John Stewart. John has had very few moments in the spotlight. He, like many other black characters, gets to pop up in teen books. And he had Green Lantern Mosaic, but that series ended when I was 1 year old. And many of y'all grew up with John, like me, in the Justice League animated series, and have been waiting for him to be the primary point of view on the Green Lantern title. And this is a John book. With the bomb team, from the writer to the artwork, if you want John to shine, here's your chance to pick up that book. Peace.
Now, without further ado, we present to you the Thorn Run of Green Lantern.
In issue one of Green Lantern, the series, the new volume, you're going to get some new bad guys. You've seen them sort of before, but they've got a beef that people should be like, huh, yeah, I guess people would be pissed off about that. Huh. And they've got abilities that the rings, even when they're fully powered, I mean, okay, you can bring those rings, but we got something for you. So it's not more ringing. Like it's not like kryptonite, but it's like, yeah, those rings aren't going to do as much for you as y'all think that they're going to do for you. Let's put it like that. You're going to be in a fight today. Like you're in a fight. So, so it's going to be fun and interesting to me. Very cosmic. But it isn't going to be the sort of these five brown Green Lanterns against the world. It ain't going to be like that.
Side note, quick note to think about you holding your tongue. We are dropping this episode on April the 7th, so issue one will be out.
Oh, interesting. Isn't that interesting? Well, I don't know what to say because I don't want to spoil anything for you brothers, but okay. Well, oh, here's a spoiler. That's not really a spoiler. A guardian gets killed in issue one. At some point in issue one, a guardian gets killed. You're going to meet, well, you've already met a couple of new players. There's a Thanagarian lady that you will have met in issue one. There is one of Brainiac Five's people, also female, you will have met in issue one. You will have learned about something called the Crux Worlds, C-R-U-X. That is not just a throwaway thing. Basically, you sure this doesn't go out before then, before issue one's on the stands?
Positive.
For sure. Okay.
1,000%.
One of the things that's bugged a lot of people who follow Green Lantern is, why are there so many damn human Green Lanterns? Right?
Especially like, since in the fan base, Jordan was the first in like millennia.
Right. Like, why all of a sudden? Well, we're going to grapple with that a bit.
Okay.
So I invented these things called the Crux Worlds. Basically, one of the things that happens in issue one is you find out that Hal, Kyle, and Jessica are told, and Simon, you guys are now stationed on the Crux Worlds. You're going to guard them during this big meeting that's happening because they must be protected. A Green Lantern must be present. One of those Crux Worlds is Earth. I'm not going to tell you, gets more explained in issue two. It's mentioned and where they are in issue one. So Kyle's out by the Vega system where the Omega Men live. Jessica's going into that sector. I think it's 0123, where you saw her in the future state. She's in that sector. She's sent there. Hal is on Earth, right? So that's not a spoiler because you've already read the book. So you know, at least at the beginning of this, where everybody is. Kelly's on Oa. Simon's on Oa. John's on Oa. I guess Jo's still on her way back from the City Enduring because it's the far sector, so it's going to take her a minute to get home. And, yeah, the Crux worlds are kind of important. They're as important in their way as the Dark Sector is in its way. and like I said, in issue two, much more gets explained about the Crux world. Trying to think what else. Yeah, Guardian gets killed. we meet. Well, I'm so sorry. I don't even want to say he goes out like a G. He just gets straight up murdered. there's a battle sequence in the first issue. I haven't seen all the battle scenes yet, but one of the things I wrote in the script, and I haven't seen how they're going to do it. During this fight, the Yellow Lanterns are present. They don't do anything. They just hang back at the edge of the fight and watch. They don't do anything. Just chill.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're not playing.
Wow.
The Yellow Lanterns, and Sinestro's in it. Sinestro has a very nice speech about how his feelings about what the Guardians, whether they are a good group or a bad group. Yeah, Sinestro comes in hard. Like, I wanted him all. The design that I had, and they're like, no, he doesn't wear that, Jeff. Like, you don't even know how crazy this book could have been. Like, there's so much stuff I was like, DC was like, you must be high. We're not doing that. Like, every 5 minutes, they're like, we're not doing that, Jeff. That's crazy. We're not doing that. Like, but anyway, yeah. So with the United Planets, like I said, they set this up. So a lot of species you've seen in the rest of DC, there's like this big festival on Oa. Right. It's kind of like whenever the Olympics go someplace, all the different people from the different countries show up there, like in the Olympic Village and in whatever city it is. That's kind of like what's going on Oa, only it's different aliens. Right. So in Infinite Frontier, we get three pages and basically it's John and Simon bringing Kelly to Oa so the Guardians can examine that glove. Right. And then when you get there, it's just everybody's there. Plus, almost all the Green Lanterns have been brought home from their sectors, right? There's like a truce out in the galaxy, right? Because we're trying to decide how this United Planets is going to be. So while we're all here, no static, because we got to bring all of our boys home to show, you know, we're the Green Lantern Corps. You need to see the Corps, right? So if we're going to do that, no static. Everybody agree? Cool. So there's like 5,000 Green Lanterns on Oa when at the beginning of this story. Guy's on Oa. Obviously, Kilowog's on Oa. You see Selak. You see Badge. And you see these new people. The spoiler, I guess, because it all happens in the first issue, is back at the beginning of the universe – the Guardians sucked half the magic out of the universe. They thought it was disorderly. They tried to get rid of all of it, but all they could manage was half. So they took half of the magical potential of the universe and they shoved it in a box and shot it into space. And that box crash landed on Earth and turned into the Star Heart. And it became the thing that made Alan Scott Green Lantern. So all of that energy turned into Green Lantern, number one.
Just brought it full circle. I'm wild impressed by that.
Okay. So they sucked half the magic or potential out of the universe. In the Legion of Superheroes, there's a planet called the Sorcerer's World, which, as you can guess, is where all the magical people in the 30th century basically go to chill. A whole planet. What's going on right now, 1,000 years before that? That same planet is supposed to be, from their point of view, what you would think of, like a good version of Lord of the Rings, a happy version of Lord of the Rings. Everything magical, constant magic everywhere, not just on their little planet, everywhere. There's supposed to be dimensional gates there that are open up to all the magical realms. That's not happening either. Why? Because of the fucking Guardians. So there's a terrorist group that's had it with that bullshit. They want the Starheart back. And magic and those rings are not compatible. Magic and Green Lantern rings are by definition not compatible. So when you're messing with a sorcerer and all you've got is a Green Lantern ring, that might not be enough, homie. That might not even be close to enough. So so when I say there's new enemies and old enemies, I'm not messing around. Okay. So they show up and they start some shit on the, you'll see this in the first issue. You will have seen this. They start some shit. They start some straight up shit. They're like, we are not playing today. We have waited long enough and all of you fools are here today. Yes, it's on. So, so that's the first issue. And there's some fallout, a lot of fallout. You get to see John be, you'll see my tone of voice in what John is about in this. Like the way he solves the problem they start, it's going to be different. Like one of the problems people have been saying about Future State has been how come there's not a lot of using of rings. And I feel like I need to defend the other writers because we were told, all of us, there's no power battery. So how are you supposed to see Green Lanterns shooting their rings around when there's no power battery? Like, that seems unfair. It seems like an unfair criticism of something when you knew that this is all after the battery blew up. What, they made up their own rings out of nothing? Like, come on. So, in this, there's a whole lot of ringing, but that doesn't always solve your problem. It's kind of what the core of it is. I want to really get at the idea that it's who's got the rings, because anyone can get a magic wish ring. What are you going to wish for? You know? And there's little visual things that are going to happen. Like, you better pay attention to this book. I don't mean like, I'm so great. Whenever I say things like, it's like, I'm so great. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I don't waste words. If there's a word in this book, if there's a sentence in this book, you might want to be paying attention to what I write, not just the hot pictures. Right? Because Dexter can draw his ass off. So it's going to look good. Marco can draw his ass off. It's definitely going to look good. But if you're not actually reading it, you won't really be getting the story. Like, there's a lot in the words of what's being said between people, little phrases here and there that you can look at the end and go, damn, he started this in episode one. That's the plan. So, yeah. 5,000 Green Lanterns, Dead Guardian, Sorcerer's World. Yellow Lanterns don't help. Red Lanterns try. The Red Lanterns like a fight. So yeah. I give them something to fight.
That was like going to be my last question before we ask you to do your run. Like,
okay,
Atrocitus feel about a UN and the role of a Guardian? I feel like somebody with a dead sector has strong opinions.
Well, the Red Lanterns have a presence there. So theoretically, you can assume that Atrocitus is kind of okay with the United Planets thing. But he's not present. So he sent some envoys, check it out, see what these people are up to. It's a galactic truce, so whatever on that. No Indigo Lanterns, no Blue Lanterns. Star Sapphires are present. And Lar Flees, his ass ain't showing up. The Orange Lanterns don't show up. No Orange Lanterns. So through with him. But so it's really yellow, red, and green that make appearances here. And that does have meaning. You're right. But I really wanted to try and get away from the whole War of the Lanterns thing. So we're kind of getting back to basics, things that they told me about, too. Like, there's so much Green Lantern material, I just couldn't possibly have read all of it. So, for instance, not only does he run the Yellow Lanterns, but Sinestro's running Khorugar. He's a planetary leader. So he has every right to be here as the leader of his planet, which is why he's here with his people. But let me just tell you, the look on his face after that Guardian gets shot, I think you guys would be very pleased with that look. And who did it? Why? Like, everything looks like you know what's going on. I promise you, when you get to the end of this arc, you're going to be like, it's like that? God damn! Like, these are the hardest. Everybody in this game is hard. Like, everybody is just, like, not playing. I have a scene I'm working on right now between, okay. I don't want to get out over my skis too far. Some of the things about the Teen Lantern that people have been upset about is they're mad Bendis created her. Everybody's mad. They're like, oh, it's just another Riri Williams. I'm like, well, what was wrong with Riri? I'm fine with Riri. But whatever. Let's say it was that. You have not seen this version of Teen Lantern. Oh, you guys will see. Do you want me to spoil stuff? Because if issue one is already out, I can spoil it for you. I'm just saying, there's really okay. I won't spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it. I want you to see it. But like the cover that they put out as the main cover instead of the Brian Hitch variant cover, I feel like the Brian Hitch cover should have been the cover because the cover they put out is Kelly yelling at that Guardian with her finger in his face like that. But a version of that scene sort of happens in the story, but that's like 3 pages. 3 pages out of 40 pages. And I was like, why would you?
Super-sized?
Yeah, it's big. It's big. It's big. The first 2 issues are like double size or whatever. So, so she has her own little issues. But one thing you should know about Kelly, I've said this on one other podcast, but Kelly's a liar. She's a big, fat, freaking liar. She told everybody she hacked a power battery, that she built that glove herself, that she's a teenager. Her ass is 11. She's 11 years old, and a dying alien said, hey, use this glove up, but hand it off to somebody before you get, like, get all your shit, but then hand it off to somebody. Don't keep using it. Right. And then he died. And then she's like, all right, I'm going to go be a superhero. And when she got with the Young Justice, she lied to them. The first thing she did was lie. Right. And I'm going to mess with that. Like, she is not that kid. She is not the super genius building stuff in her lab, secretly super amazing. She lucked out with this glove thing and she's not letting anybody take it off her. Bottom line, she is a street kid from Bolivia. She ain't playing with nobody. Okay.
I got lore questions, but I feel like it's good lore questions. Like, I'm going to just read the book and figure it
out. Yeah, go read it. But you see what I'm saying, right? It's going to be, it's not what people are expecting because I'm not looking backwards. I'm not going to like, oh, how am I going to resurrect Krona? Nope. 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 What about Cat Matoya? You going to bring her back to life? Nope. No, I'm not. You know, the controllers. What about the antimatter universe? I have no idea why you would even mention that. Like, I'm not. I've told you before. We're going over here. Like, anything you've already read, not going to help you. Well, any Green Lantern book you've already read is not going to help you. If you read a lot of DC, you might be in a better position.
Okay.
Yeah, man. They can't see me. I'm grinning. I'm grinning like a maniac because I can see myself and I look like a freak. I'm just telling you. And the art that's coming through on this, yo, like Dexter Soy is a monster. Oh, my God. And this other guy they brought in, Marco, he's Italian. And, of course, his name goes out of my head. That guy can draw, too. Like, it's going to be a thing. Like, they're bringing the heat. Like, even if I couldn't write, if I was a terrible, terrible writer, and some people may think I am, these dudes are bringing the heat. Like, was like, damn.
Are you staying within the 3,600 known sectors, or are you reaching beyond that? Because we haven't really seen much of what exists.
Well, they have put in the solicits, which is out there. There are these things called the dark sectors. Yeah. there are these places called the dark sectors. We will see at least one of the dark sectors. Let's put it like that. What else? What have they? Oh, so John's basically going to, he gets given the mission of sort of, I wouldn't say, they said it in the press, like in their releases, because they're trying to do shorthand. He's an ambassador. Sort of, right? We don't know what's inside these dark sectors. So it's more like go investigate. If they need help, help them out. But more important, figure out what the hell's going on into a place that the Guardians can't see. Like, okay, we can't.
Scout team, regiment, like, scout team, yeah. Recon situation.
Yeah, with about, he's taking a stack of Green Lanterns with him, though. It's not like, you, by yourself, go out there. He's taking a bunch of Green Lanterns with him. A bunch. So, I see you frowning. Yeah, but then the rings, what happens? It's awful. It's just a mess. It's a mess.
That reminds me, Salak, the archivist in combat, like, how did...
Yeah, baby. Well, see, okay, that's good. See, now I can answer that damn question because people keep jumping on me about that. This is a decade down the line, right? This is not like, oh, he stepped out of the library and now he's a badass, right? Like yesterday, well, I was, you know, doing my arc. What is it? I'm an accountant, right? But today I'm on the front line with the SEAL team. It isn't like that. Like, it's a decade. He's been fighting. He's got a scar down the middle of his face. How'd he get that? Whatever they were doing out there killed Kilowog. Kilowog! Like, whatever they've been fighting out there is worse than they've seen, and they didn't have rings to deal with it. So what do? You adapt. You have to figure it out. Either you're alive, either you stay alive or you get killed. In the dark sectors, either you stay alive or you get killed. You don't die of old age. You get killed. Something will kill you or eat you out there. So, or both. So like what happened to Nort, people are like, oh, he just flipped Nort over and turned him into Chewbacca. And I'm like, it's been a decade. You haven't, these dudes, these are not, why is John's hair cut like that? A Marine would never do that. And I'm like, really? Really? You don't know what these dudes have been up to. You don't know what they've been through, who they've lost. They had enough time to have families that you've never met yet and have them all get killed. And you didn't see that either. Like, it's been at least a decade since the last time we saw that. So when we do the book, the Green Lantern book, we flip back to now. So it's still all before any of that.
Bet you're wondering how I got here. Okay.
So our guy, Jeffrey Thorne, is really swinging for the fences in a way that hasn't really been done since the War of Light, where I think my boy Jon Stewart was cheated out of glory. So now we get that expansion with Jon as the focal point. And I'm talking DC Cosmic, all 3,600 sectors of the universe, plus the dark sectors, plus whatever Wiggy things Crux World are. And the way he describes this story, it doesn't feel like the Green Lanterns are space cops. Their mission is diplomatic first, which also has me a bit more excited about what the Cords can become as an entity amongst the United Planets.
Facts, yeah. I'm so excited to see how he's going to handle the political aspect of it too. So, because there's just so much. There's a whole galaxy that's in turmoil. And to see the questions that he's going to unearth from dealing with an entire galaxy of political issues and people with potentially legitimate grievances for the Lantern Corps. And he won't try to feed us answers to those questions. He's just going to present those questions. That's exciting. And when you were saying about John being cheated, I'm excited to see a more introspective John as a Lantern and a proper soldier slash leader. Because as you were saying with the other Jeff's run, you felt as though he had John do all the wet work, just came in, you know, kill some people or eliminate some targets and dip. But now you have to think about, as a soldier, how do you grapple with the fact that you're trained to potentially take a life, but you're also a human, you're also a living sentient being, and you're interacting with other living sentient beings. And we know that nowadays there's that whole idea of like ethics in the military, and how do you conscientiously object to potentially an order from your superior while still wanting to accomplish the mission? So that's really excited to see. I'm glad we're going to get to see John really grapple with that.
And if none of that or anything we've said this episode convinces you to pick up Green Lantern number one, we've done you a disservice. And that's all we have today on the Power You in Fiction podcast. I really hope that we've convinced you to pick up Green Lantern number one. And if you really like Jeff Thorne, please check out those first two parts where we do a profile on exactly why he's the right person to pick up this run at this time. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff Thorne, and that's GEOFTHRONE. Normally we get our interview guests to say it, but we were so into this interview that we forgot to ask him.
Yup. He stay on there, you know, musing and ranting sometime. You can follow us at Poyef Pod. That's on Twitter and on Instagram. We got a website too. It's www.poyef.com.
I also have a personal Twitter account. You can find me at Shens_after_Shens_.
Yes, sir. You can follow me. I'm on the bird. Sometimes, you know, I'll be tweeting about stuff that I like. It's at Word to Wilson. So Word, the number two, and then Wilson.
If you feel like supporting us financially so we can make great content, then throw some duckies our way at patreon.com/Poyef. Basically, Google Poyef, P-O-Y-I-F, and we have a pretty good handle on it. This has been the Power of You in Fiction podcast, the nonfiction podcast about fiction and its very real effects on our lives.
And today we're going to close out with one final plea from Jeff.
I think people will all be presently surprised, but if the audience lets us, how do I say this right? I have a plan. The Cylons have a plan, but if the audience doesn't go for it, then obviously DC will cut me off. So if I don't make it past issue 6 or 10 or whatever, my big plan was, won't happen. But some of the people who are like, yay, just do a Green Lantern. I'm like, okay, you happy now? And some of the people who are like, this dude is doing Green Lantern, kill him. And I'm like, I don't know if you're going to feel like that in about 8 issues, but okay. So it's just not what – I don't like to sound like I'm hyping myself. I'm not saying it like, oh, I'm so awesome, my book's going to be so different. I'm saying it like the difference between this book and the other Green Lantern books is that the other Green Lantern books, except for Morrison's run right now, they all look at the Green Lanterns. Everything that happens in those books has to do with the Green Lanterns or the Red Lanterns or the Yellow Lanterns and the Green Lanterns or the somebody and the Green Lanterns. Like, it's all about the Guardians and the Green Lanterns and fighting the other Lanterns, and is Sinestro going to do X? And I'm looking out. I am looking forward. I am not looking inside. We had 25, 50 years of looking inside, right? 20 years of looking inside, looking at ourselves, essentially. So we're looking away. We're looking out. Who's new? What else is happening out in this cosmic DC? How does it even work? It's definitely a swing. It's a wide swing. I'm pleased that DC was down for it. I mean, I think they were down for it when it was a little story. I'm I'm very pleased that they're down to make it a big story. So that's where we're at with that. But it's not like what anybody's seen before. Not like, it's not like anyone, what you've seen before. It's just different. You know, I'm not trying to, and I'm not erasing anything. I don't come in with like a big, like, well, what you thought about this is fake. Everything you love is still true. Everybody who's dead is still dead. Everybody who's in love with anybody is still in love with them. Like, it's all that is safe, right? It's just, let's look out this window instead.